Good morning. It's good to hear the lively conversation taking place as we start our worship service this morning. I am so glad you're here. My name is Pastor Devin, and I'm glad to be back to lead us in worship. I don't see Michelle in here quite yet this morning, but I wanted to offer a word of thanks for her leading our worship services last week so I could have a little time away with the family. I know you all were gracious and good to her last week, but please offer her another word of thanks if you see her that she was able to lead us. I do have a couple of other quick announcements to share with you this morning. As you're likely aware, we live in Romeo. You're all aware, I realize this, but this coming week or next week is the Peach Festival, where they're back in full force. They're making all the plans in town, and that includes right out on our front lawn here. Our men's group is going to have their food booth back out there, serving people and getting everyone ready for the parade as it comes through town. But it was noted to me they can still use some volunteers to help with some of those different things that they'll be serving with the food and things. If you're able to help out, that sign up is downstairs in the fellowship hall. You can check that out after worship. Also, we have a couple other opportunities to help or bring some donations in. There are donations for his table. The slips are downstairs on the board if you want to grab those, and you can bring in some food to help contribute to that meal that'll be coming up here soon. You can find those in the fellowship hall. And Judy just mentioned to me that this Tuesday, they need some people to help shuck some corn for his table. So if you're around Tuesday afternoon, they're going to meet around 2 o'clock here at the church. If you can come by and help them shuck some of those ears of corn, they'll be doing that and appreciate that help. And food booth, corn. All right, my last announcement. I just wanted to remind everyone that not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday, the week after the Peach Festival, September 10th, we're going to have our movie night out on the lawn. And the movie that was voted overwhelmingly by our families in the church is for The Bad Guys, which I know sounds a little odd that we're going to be showing The Bad Guys, but I promise it has a good message and it has a good resolution by the end of it for those bad guys. So if you can join us, we'd love to have you. We're going to be out on the lawn. We're going to shoot to start the movie around 8:15, 8:30, so it's not too late when we're finishing. But if you want to come a little early, we're going to have all those Vacation Bible School songs playing, the music and the songs and the dancing. The kids will be able to enjoy that. And we will have popcorn available. Of course, bring your own favorite snacks and hopefully join us for a fun evening out there. So that's September 10th, not this Saturday, the following Saturday. We'll be out there for movie night. And I'm just double-checking my notes. I think I hit everything. Did I miss anyone? I'm not seeing anything. All right. Well, I'm glad to be back with you all. I'm glad that we have this beautiful, beautiful day to worship. It's always a good day to worship our God, but we enjoy the sunshine out there when we come in, don't we? Amen. Thank you, Earlene. And we're going to start our worship as we always do. I'm going to invite you to sing with me our opening hymn. It's number 110, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Would you stand with me as you're able for hymn number 110? Thank you. Will you pray with me? God who knows us, in Jeremiah we read how you formed our souls long before you ever knew us. You consecrated us for kingdom work long before our birth. You've called us to be a prophet to the nations. We know that life moves in cycles of growth and destruction, picking and pulling, building and overthrowing. Yet we may rest in the assurance that we are known and loved by you, by God, the one who creates all these beautiful things, the one who we pray to today. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is going to come from the Psalms. It's Psalm 71, verses 1 through 6. Prayer for lifelong protection and help. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. From my birth I have leaned upon you, my protector since my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. This ends our first scripture reading for this morning. And this morning we have another special music offering that's been brought to us. We have Ned Grant, who's up here, who's going to be singing. You may remember that this is the sixth year that Ned has done this for us. It's in celebration of his beating his cancer battle, making it through his cancer battle, and he shares his gift of singing with us, and we're glad to have Ned and Cynthia singing, and this is going to be Worthy, You Are Worthy.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to thank you all for the past prayers that you provided for me and my family, and look forward to many more years being cancer-free. Thank you.
Thank you, Ned and Cynthia, for blessing us with that today. And at this time, I'd like to invite any of the children or youth or students who are out there who'd like to join me to come on forward for our time with children on the steps. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing today? Good? You guys doing all right? Yaman? All right. Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you could come up and spend a few minutes here with me. And, you know, I always have my children's lesson kind of formed in my mind, but then sometimes things happen and it just kind of changes my children's lesson in my mind as you guys are coming up or as things happen. And that kind of just happened today because we just had something special happen. What happened just before I called you guys up here? What did we have happen in worship?
I lit the candles.
You lit the candles. That was before that. After the candles.
I don't know what happened. I just got here.
You just got here? Okay. Well, just seconds ago, moments ago, we had a duet. We had a couple people sing up here, right? We had Mr. Grant, Ned Grant, and Cynthia, who always plays and sings beautifully for us. They sung a song for us. And if you caught it, Ned was singing that song. It's his way of expressing his appreciation to God and to the church by sharing his gift of singing. He has a good singing voice. He's a talented singer, and we love having him sing. And he sings for us as a celebration because a few years ago, a number of years back, he was diagnosed with cancer. He was told that he had cancer in him, but he beat it. He got through that cancer treatment, and now he's cancer-free. And so he does it as a way to express his gratitude to us. And it kind of got me thinking, are there other ways we can offer our thanks to God? Are there other ways we can express our thanks to God? Can you think of anything? Is there things we do? Maybe? Like what? How can we express our thanks to God?
Beans?
Beans. All right. If you want to use beans, how could you use beans to express your thanks to God? I can use anything. I can turn anything into a lesson here. Come on. God made the ground. We grow beans from the ground. And then what do we do with the beans?
We eat them.
Or we could use them to make a meal for other people, like on Tuesdays when we have his table, right? So we can use beans to serve God and say thanks to God for what he's provided us. We help people with our Liberia boxes, the money that we collected. Absolutely. We're going to talk about that a little bit later with the adults. There's lots of ways. There's people every Sunday morning, you may not even realize it, but we have people who are out here ushering. We have people who are downstairs greeting people. We have the fellowship people getting things ready. We have someone in the sound booth keeping us. We have someone upstairs in the video booth. We have people all over this church who are using their gifts and just expressing their small gift of thanks to God. And everyone who's here to worship, we're here to say thank you to God. And I just think that's a good reminder that we can say thank you to God when good things happen. Something good happened in Ned's life. Something good from something terrible that he's not sick. Lainey often has something to say to me. That's not unusual. But I guess that's just my encouragement for you guys, is to find ways to say thank you. Say thank you to God. Say thank you to your parents. You guys are just completely out of my loop tonight, aren't you? Yeah, they're out of it. But you know what? We're going to say thank you to Heidi and Leif, because in a second they're going to take you to Odyssey, and you're going to have a chance to learn more with them, too. They're using their gifts. So I'm going to say a word of prayer for you guys. I hope you can be thankful that we can express our thanks just like Mr. Grant did today, just like all the people who serve and do those wonderful things do. So let's have a word of prayer, all right? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I do give you thanks. I offer so much thanks, Lord, for these children that are in our church, for the many, many students and youth that are a part of our congregation and worship with us and attend our events and our things that we do. Lord, we are so thankful for their presence. And Lord, we pray that we can express that thanks through all of our different gifts, the different ways, the different things we can do to serve you, Lord. We are so thankful. We are so grateful. And we offer our thanks this day, as always, in your Son's holy name. Amen. Well, thank you guys for coming up. And I know Heidi and Leif have a lesson back there ready for you. You can head back with them or head back to your seats, whatever you'd like to do. Thanks for coming up, guys. They don't know if they want to stay with me or if they want to go. Have fun, guys. Well, we do take this time in worship each week to express our joys and our concerns, often our thanks, and those things that are in need of prayer. And I have one that was noted to me on my way in this morning that we have to take action on, and I need all of you to help me take action on this, because I was told by his mother on the way in, and his grandmother is in the chat making sure we're aware of it as well. So you probably already saw this, but it is Josh Sova's 15th birthday today. And if it's his birthday, we got to sing to him. Josh is one of those who's up there behind the scenes making our video stream possible so many weeks, and we're so thankful for him. So let's offer our celebration with him as we sing to Josh this morning. Hope you have a good day, Josh. You could have turned the camera around and smiled for it. No. Hope you have a great day. I also have a couple of others that came in this morning. The Stoners are tuning in online, Bob and Carol, and they just wanted to share that Carol is continuing to improve with her home physical therapy and just says thank you for the prayers and the support of her church family. So we continue to keep you in our prayers, Carol and Bob. And the last one I have came from Debbie Saudi. I called last night and said she tested positive for COVID, so she wasn't going to be able to join us here this week. She said she's feeling well. She's not feeling too horrible, just some of the minor symptoms. But I bet she's watching this morning with us. So, Debbie, know that we're keeping you in our prayers for a speedy recovery. And then I would add that I got an additional message from Debbie this morning, and she wanted to highlight that her time was won yesterday. So, Debbie, we celebrate that with you, and we do pray for you for a speedy recovery. But those were the ones that I had shared with me and the ones I received this morning. Of course, Nathan and Craig have the microphones here, so feel free to catch their eye and share with us. Yes, Glenn.
I always feel selfish when I ask for prayers for myself, but again, it appears my ankle is infected, and I need it to go away.
That's not selfish, and we will pray for you. Go ahead and pray for that healing in your ankle. The ankle can stay, the infection can go. That's what we'll pray for. Thank you, Glenn.
I went to see Linda Shenburn yesterday, and when I got there, she wasn't there. I called her son, or texted her son, and she was taken back to Beaumont. She has a fever, kind of a high fever, so she's not ready for visitors, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. So prayers for Linda.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Prayers for Linda. She was taken back to the hospital that they're able to get her well and back home. Thank you.
It's back to school time. So let's pray for all of our students heading back to school that they have a strong, successful year, that they are given the gift of wisdom, that the teachers have the strength that they need, and the parents are back to normal life.
Absolutely. First, for all of our students as they head back to school, the teachers, administrators, bus drivers, all those who make it possible, first for a great year. Thank you, Shelley.
Last night, we were at a celebration for Steve Domke. He celebrated his 70th birthday a few weeks ago.
Reason to celebrate, indeed, a 70th birthday. Thank you, Dave.
Yes, I'd just like to praise God's holy name, the goodness that he gives us through our trials and tribulations that draw us closer to him, and all the trials and tribulations we had this year. We are really leaning on Jesus, and he just draws us in and strengthens our faith through all those times. I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Marty. Absolutely. And we continue to keep you in our prayers. Thank you so much.
Continue prayer for Beth Thyssen.
Continue prayers for Beth Thyssen. Thank you, Nathan. Absolutely.
I'd like prayers for my son, Russell. He is a store manager, and his vice president has asked him to accompany him to an opening of a new store in Ohio, and they will be gone from the 1st through the 9th of September. And he is a fine Christian man, and I think he can be a good representative in this new environment and help them with a lot of things.
Absolutely. Prayers for Traveling Mercies and a good trip for your son as he helps launch a new branch with his gifts. Thank you, Artis.
I just want to ask for some healing prayers for my friend Brenda as she recovers from lung cancer surgery.
prayers for Brenda. She's recovering from her lung cancer surgery. Absolutely. And continue prayers for Sue as she goes through her treatments as well. Even if she won't ask for them for herself, we'll keep praying for you, Sue. Are there any others this morning? Well, then I invite us to take these. As I said with the kids, the things that we're thankful for, the ways that we express that gratitude, the joys we have, but also those concerns that have been raised, those who are in need of an extra measure of prayer here today that we lift up, those that have been spoken and those that we bring with us, let us take this moment and share them with our God. Holy God, you have created us with a purpose. You have given each of us gifts and talents, things that we might use to bring forth your kingdom here on this earth. You've bestowed on us unique abilities that allow us to help your children across the world, the poor, the orphan, the widow, the immigrant, the oppressed. How beautiful a gift you have given to us. Lord, forgive us when we forget or we hesitate to share those gifts. As you did for the prophet Jeremiah, put your hand to our mouths. Put it to our hands, our feet, our minds. All the different parts of us. All the different ways we may speak and act, write, teach, comfort, and share your good news. May our magnificently different voices carry the incredible message of your love, redemption, and grace to all the corners of this world. As we lift our voices to you today, we ask for prayers for those unable to be with us. We know that those who are unable to be in our physical presence are still joined with us in spirit. We lift up those who are in need of that extra measure of prayer, those dealing with hurt and loss, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, you know the need, O Lord. We lift them to you knowing that you and you alone have the power to bring true healing into their lives. We lift all these joys, as well as all these concerns before you today, as we join our voices to lift this prayer in our Lord's name, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'll invite you all to join me again and stand for our next hymn. It's number 649, How Shall They Hear the Word of God? Please stand with me as you're able for hymn number 649. You may please be seated. We pause for this moment in worship to again give thanks. I'm catching a theme here today. We give thanks for the collections of offering and tithes we bring. And I mentioned during the children's time, I wanted to highlight for us this morning that during VBS, if you were here for that week, you saw all those beautiful churches piled on our altar, all those churches brought back by those boys and girls with their offering for the Readers to Leaders program that we promoted during our vacation Bible school. And I don't know where our total sits at exactly. I just got back yesterday. I haven't gotten all those numbers figured out. But we are well over $400 that those students brought in, just those students brought in towards this program. My friends, the church's goal was $600. That's what the conference asked for us to raise, was $600. I want to blow right by that $600. I want to help us provide as many opportunities for students to get education as we can. And so we were talking about it, and in a couple weeks, we're going to do it on September 18th. You remember those buckets we bring around, the noisy buckets? Well, the kids are going to be out there in the pews, and they're going to be shaking those buckets at you. And I want to fill them up. We can fill them up with coins. Guess what? We'll take paper bills and even checks, too, into those buckets. But I want to fill those buckets up that we can send that check off to that Readers to Leaders program, that we can support students at the Freedom Schools in Flint and Detroit here in our home state, but also those students in Liberia. You see my Liberian flag that was gifted to me by Jenny after VBS that's up here, a conference that we've worked with for many years as part of the Michigan Conference, the scholarships we can provide. So we'll be doing that on September 18th. Start collecting that pocket change. Hopefully you might have a bucket of it sitting around like we do at our house, where all the coins end up. Plan on bringing that in on the 18th so we can continue our outreach into the world. I also offer my continued thanks for our offering. We have our box on the organ here for those who want to leave a gift here this morning. We, of course, have our online giving available on our website at romeoumc.com as well. Let me offer this word of prayer, this word of thanks for our collection here today. Mighty God, bringing our tithes and our offerings to you today, we pray over them and we sing your praises. Lord, remind us that you have called us to more, to speak for you, to make our testimony a part of our offering, a part of our very lives. During this time of worship and in hearing the scriptures, may we be reminded that you will provide us with the words we need. You will give us the faith and the courage to speak of your love and mercy and compassion. You will be with us now. You will be with us always. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our second scripture reading for today is going to take us to the book of Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. This is Jeremiah's call and commission. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." My friends, this is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, today is a bit of a culmination of the journey we started over these summer months about 8 weeks ago. It was a journey we took with some of the Old Testament prophets. It was our Prophet Margins worship series we've been spending some time in. And we've seen these various prophets as they were called by God to take a message to the people, to the nation of Israel. It was a message of warning, to be sure, but it was also a message of promise. It was a message of hope. And those prophets, as we've seen, they were not always warmly received. It was not an easy life they led after being called by God. But then again, God never promised that it was going to be easy. He never promised any of them it would be an easy walk. And that's what brings us to this final week of this series, the final prophet we're going to walk with. And as we heard in the scripture, we're walking with Jeremiah this week. And as with all those previous prophets we've looked at, Jeremiah, he carries a nickname, one that he's been referred to over the years. Jeremiah has been known as the weeping prophet. If you've been around Romeo UMC for any part of these past 3 years, you may know that, you may understand why I feel a pretty tight bond to my friend Jeremiah here, specifically to that nickname of his, the weeping prophet. More than once, Jeremiah was tempted to hang up that prophetic hat God had put on his head and go home. He wept over his nation's self-destructive, rebellious behavior, its rebellion against God. Jeremiah cried out to the Lord. Jeremiah wept to the Lord. He frequently would feel despondent. He would feel rejected. He would see no visible fruit for all his efforts. And he wondered, what was it all for? After decades of ministry, he wondered, what have I accomplished? And because of that and so many other things, he's been remembered as the weeping prophet. And if we really wanted to, we could spend a whole lot of time in Jeremiah. We could actually spend a whole year in it if we did one chapter a year. There are 52 chapters in the book of Jeremiah. It could easily be divided up into at least three main sections, each of which has their own themes and messages, things for us to learn. We could spend a good amount of time in the book of Jeremiah. His career as a prophet, it was one of dire warning, warning to the people that destruction was imminent if they didn't repent, if they didn't turn back to the Lord. And Jeremiah tried. I really believe he tried. And despite all those efforts, despite all he did, the nation of Israel still fell. It was all for naught, it seemed to Jeremiah. But then we see the final words of the book, the final words in this book of Jeremiah. And it ends with a message of hope once more. For all that had happened, for all the hurt that Jeremiah had seen, his book still ends with words of hope for those people who were devastated by the effects of exile. The Lord would not leave Jeremiah with his tears and with his sorrow. There was still hope. There was still promise, and the Lord brought that message to Jeremiah to share. And I share all of that with you, that very brief overview of those 52 chapters, because like I said, we could spend some time in that, but this morning we're going to spend some time looking at just this first chapter, the verses we read here this morning. These first chapters, these first verses, they begin like many of the other prophets we've heard. They're like most of the individuals we see in the Old Testament, with their call from God, with God speaking to them, what God's vision for them is. Right there in verse 5, we see God's initiating word. I think we can put it up there for you. There it is. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God has a word of hope from Jeremiah from the beginning. But then right away in verse 6, we see Jeremiah's objection. Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. I'm only a boy. I can't do it, Lord." Of course, verse 7 comes along with God's rebuttal to that objection. The Lord said, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. You shall speak whatever I command you." Then God offers in verse 8 his reassurance, God's promise. "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." I am with you, says the Lord. And then finally, in verses 9 and 10, we have Jeremiah's commissioning, his being sent out. "Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant.'" as I said, this call story, I read it for you again. I know we've heard it twice now. I might read it one more time later in service. I'm not sure yet. I think it's important for us because it highlights what these conversations look like when God comes calling. Many of the prophets, many of those Old Testament leaders had very similar conversations with God. And that's why I think it's an important reminder for all of us as individuals, but it's also an important reminder for us together as God's church, as the body of Christ. Because instantly, what was Jeremiah's reaction when God came calling? His reaction was to list all the reasons he was not a good choice. He instantly looks for and points out all of his shortcomings, all of his weaknesses he can think of, all the reasons he can't possibly do it. No one's going to listen to me, was Jeremiah's claim. Jeremiah's looking for an out. He's looking, he doesn't really want to get involved at this moment. He wants to have it passed on. Let someone else do that, Lord. Let someone else be that person. But God instantly shuts all of that down. God reminds Jeremiah, God reminds each and every one of us of two very important things. First, God doesn't make a mistake. If God is knocking at your door, if God is calling you to do something, God is right where God intended to be, knocking on your door. And second, maybe even more importantly, God is not calling Jeremiah out of all those weaknesses Jeremiah wants to highlight. God is calling Jeremiah out of his giftedness and out of his strength. Before I formed you, I knew you. God knew Jeremiah. God knew his strengths. God knew his weaknesses. But God knew Jeremiah. And God called Jeremiah. I mentioned a few moments ago that this is a familiar narrative, a familiar story we see throughout the Old Testament. It's one that we see repeated time and again, at least a rough outline of it. But as I read these words, as I read this call again, you know what's really funny to me? All these years later, it's been many years since God called Jeremiah, but I think this same narrative still exists in our world today when God comes calling. In our world, this same thing still happens, and I say that 100% from personal experience. Because I mentioned I feel a connection to Jeremiah. It's not just because of the weeping prophet thing. I feel this story in my bones when I read it. Because this call story, it's my story too. Because you see, a number of years ago, I was humming along. I was doing all the things I was supposed to do, all the things I thought I was supposed to be doing. I was attending church each week, at least most weeks. I was the director of our church's youth group. I was the church AV guru. I was running the sound booth. I had us streaming online before the words pandemic and COVID ever appeared. I was being a good follower. I was doing what God wanted me to do. At least that's what I was telling myself. Until one day. Oh. One day the voice of God showed up. And you may wonder, is Pastor really claiming he heard the voice of God? Yes. Yes, I did. I can 100% honestly say I heard God that evening. Because you see, that evening, the voice of God sounded a lot like my wife, Brittany's voice. We were sitting at that dinner table. We were having a meal together, something we did most nights. But she asked me a seemingly innocent question that evening. Yet it was a question so powerful that when I look back at it, I know that it had to have come from God. It was God speaking through my wife. She asked me when I was going to stop ignoring what God was calling me to do. When was I going to step out and do what God wanted me to do? Was I willing to step out in faith and follow God's plan? You want to know what my response was to God that night? No way. Who, me? I can't do it. What are you talking about? I can't do those kind of things. I can't get up and speak in front of a group of people. I'll probably end up crying if I do that. I can't possibly lead a church. I can't do it. I can't teach people. I can't give people hope. That's not what I'm good for. I have a family I need to go look after. I need to take care of them. You know how expensive seminary is? I can't drop all this and go start a new journey, God. I just can't do it. If I'm being honest with you here this morning, my list of excuses, it probably makes Jeremiah's look like nothing. I had sheets of reasons why I couldn't do what God was calling me to. Why it wouldn't make sense to do it. But you know what I realized? God already knew all of that. I wasn't telling God anything new. And God showed me, with the help of my beautiful bride, what it means to listen. What it means to follow God's call. And as I stand before you today, it is still with butterflies in my stomach. They show up every Sunday morning about 9:45 these days. Those butterflies show up. But you know who else is with me every Sunday morning? God is with me. God has sent his Spirit to be with me and guide me and give me the words. God put the words in Jeremiah's mouth. I believe God has put the words into my mouth as well. The Lord said, I know you to me. Just like the Lord says, I know you to each and every one of us in this room. As we close this Prophet Margins worship series, that is my word of hope, my word of encouragement for all of you. But it is also a word of challenge to us. Because you see, the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, the one who birthed this miraculous world into being, with all its beauty, all its wonder, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the host of hosts, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God that created it all, knows you deeply and intricately, knows your wants, your desires, your fears, your hopes. God knows you. And God is coming calling for each one of us. God is calling us to be a part of the ongoing work of bringing his message of love and hope and redemption to the world. Our scripture from this morning ended with God instructing Jeremiah to go and proclaim the word. And Jeremiah did. For 51 more chapters, Jeremiah did. But God didn't leave Jeremiah after telling him to go. In those next chapters, God instructs and trains Jeremiah. He asks Jeremiah, what do you see? God gives Jeremiah practice, preparing him for the difficult roads that lie ahead, encouraging him to gird up your loins, be prepared for the road before you. God is telling Jeremiah, it is time. I knew you. I have called you for just such a time as this. That is the encouragement for all of us in this opening chapter of Jeremiah. God knows you. God has called you. God will prepare you. And God will send you to do God's will. Can you go ahead and put up that next picture there for me? That may look like a pretty familiar space to most of us, right? That's the fellowship hall downstairs. A little over a week ago, I found myself walking through that room. I don't remember why I was walking through. I was cutting through there for one reason or another. But as I did so, I stopped as I saw this very scene you see before you that you're looking at. And at first glance, it might not look like anything particularly special or anything special about it. But something in that scene caught my eye. It made me pause. Specifically, it's that round table that's sitting right there in the middle of that room. Because you see, this was on Wednesday. This was the morning after our his table meal the night before. And at that his table, we had a full house. And it was awesome to see. We had such a full house that they were, as they were serving food, Ken and Nathan noticed that we were running out of seats. So they sprung to action. They went out and pulled out another table and chairs so that everyone had a place to sit and enjoy their meal. Ken and Nathan responded to the question of, what do you see? The same question that God asked Jeremiah, the same question that God has been asking of prophets for years, Nathan and Ken responded to that question. They identified a need that they saw in that very moment. And I've asked it before. It was even one of our Sunday themes a few weeks back during the series. But what do you see? What need do you see? What hurt do you see? What struggle is present that you see? What do you see in the world around you? It might be something that has a relatively easy solution, like getting out a table and some chairs, one that we can take care of right away. But it also might be something that's going to take a little more work, a little more time, a little more effort. It might even be something that might make you a little unpopular or disliked because it challenges people's expectations or beliefs. But I would ask you, what is it that God is trying to show to you? God knows what you're capable of, even if you doubt it. So what is it that God is trying to show to you? Where can you set up another table so that one more brother or sister can join the Lord at his table? I'd encourage you to reflect on that today and the days ahead, to keep your eyes open to those possibilities, to see the visions, to hear the voices of God, to hear where God may be sending you. And as you do, as you hear that voice, as you answer that question, I encourage you to act on it. Don't push it aside. Don't make the excuses. Don't let the fear of doubt and failure or rejection carry the day. Speak the truth that you know in your heart. Speak the hope you know. Speak the love that has been shared with you. You see, it's just a few chapters over in chapter 20, verse 9, that Jeremiah basically recounts why he cannot give up being a prophet, why he cannot help but speak of God. Jeremiah says that if he were not to speak God's name, not to speak of that which he knows, that something within him would burn like a fire. It would burn him up from the inside out, a fire shut up inside him, unable to be contained until it poured out onto others. It burst forth. Don't try to keep that fire inside. It is meant to be shared. It is meant to be spread. Let it shine. Let it pour out onto others. Let it change others' lives. And as we go, let me offer us this final reminder, this final word of encouragement. It's actually the final words of John Wesley as he transitioned from this life into the next. Wesley said, "Best thing of all, God is with us." Best thing of all, God is with us. God is with us. God knows us. God loves us. All thanks and praise be to God today and forever. Amen.
Let's all stand for our last song, please.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We are gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, call on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope in your name. Morning turns to songs of praise. Our God saves. Our God saves. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We are gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of your offering
as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope in your name. Morning turns to songs of praise. Our God saves. Our God saves. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope in your name. Morning turns to songs of praise. Our God saves. Our God saves.
Thank you, Jesus.
As we depart today, let us go in peace, knowing that the God of creation, the God of love, goes with us. Let us go as people who know this truth, people who believe this truth, people who live this truth. Let us go with God's blessing. Amen.